Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
There's been a lot of talk about fake news over the past few years. The problem of misinformation and fake news seems to be growing and spreading quickly and maybe even exponentially these days. And today on Inside Austin, Helen Bouie, she's the president of the Reboot Foundation. It's an organization dedicated to increasing critical thinking skills and combating the spread of misinformation. Helen, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Inside Austin.
Thank you. I'm delighted, John.
Now, let's talk about, I guess, misinformation, or these days it's called fake news. It's been around, I guess, misinformation for forever. But what is it about fake news these days that makes it so dangerous, and what is it?
So actually, if you go back to the history of fake news that you referred to, it really became coined back in 2016 with the U.S. presidential election. The person who really started using it was actually BuzzFeed editor Craig Silverman. When he came across outlandish headlines on Facebook feeds, particularly around the Pope endorsing Donald Trump for president, when he dug in a little bit more into the detail, he came across that actually the article was coming out of a small town in Macedonia. And with that, he started calling it fake news. So that's kind of the origin of fake news. But I think to your question, really misinformation, disinformation is just propagating, and is obviously problematic, including on the most recent subject around coronavirus.
Yeah, and some of that misinformation with coronavirus can be lethal.
A lot of this misinformation obviously spreads through social media. The fact of the matter is over 40% of tweets around coronavirus is around health topics. So the Reboot Foundation, we did actually a survey around coronavirus and fake news and the misinformation. And over one-third of the people surveyed actually, unfortunately, believe in myths around coronavirus, particularly related to health items. You know, that includes, for example, one out of four people actually believe that coronavirus would die off in the spring. That went back when we did the survey in March, April.
Yeah, that's clearly not the case here.
We're now in summer, and it hasn't died off.
It's extremely hot here in Austin, and I think our numbers have been, they haven't been worse as they are this week.
So that's where things, the fake news and misinformation, it can be actually dangerous, right?
Now, what is the incentive for people to share this misinformation or fake news? Why do they do it?
There are clearly organizations that deliberately disseminate misinformation. So between any given time, 9 to 15% of feeds in Twitter are actually created by bots. So they're not even human-generated, they're computer-generated. There are clearly PR agencies that use social media and misinformation for political agenda or for sales information to promote different products, so to push sales for different products. So there is clearly communities that have a specific agenda to disseminate misinformation. However, there is also just somewhat, quote, innocent sharing of fake news as well. Although, the actual sharing of that misinformation is not as big a percentage. There is a panel done with a group of people who use Twitter, and approximately only 0.1% of the users actually represented 80% of the fake news. So it's more the origin of where this fake news comes from, and then the dissemination often is actually pretty harmless, but yet obviously can have consequences that are important.
Are the people who unintentionally share fake news, are they typically senior citizens?
There have been studies around that information, and I know it's, you know, it's unfortunately it's not, this is not fake news, that on Facebook, people who are 65 and older actually spread fake news twice as often as people in the, who are ages between 45 to 65, and seven times as much as people who are 18 to 29. So unfortunately, the myth that older people do share more fake news is statistically true.
And is fake news, the sharing of fake news, is it somehow encouraged by Facebook and or Twitter or wherever, whatever your preferred social media platform may be? Is it encouraged?
I'm not going to make a judgment in terms of what their intention is. I think we need to go back to the business model of social media. The business model of social media is to have as many clicks so that they can increase their ad revenues and their sources of revenue. So by definition, the algorithm is actually conceived to play with your emotion. If you're a bit emotional about a subject, you're going to click through more, review more of the tweets, and stay longer on their platform. And that's why it's not necessarily the intent, but the actual result of social media is that there is a bigger dissemination and utilization of fake news because of where we click through and how we like to read things. And let me be more specific about that. If you click and or like or put commentary around something about your affinity to Joe Biden, the probability afterwards that you're more exposed to articles, advertisement, as well as different commentaries around Joe Biden increases in magnitude exponentially. And that's the way their algorithm works. So by definition, you're naturally feeding yourself into information around subjects that you've either clicked through or that you have a tendency for, and it obviously permits less the possibility to have visibility to opposing views or different types of information.
We're not accusing Mark Zuckerberg of intentionally spreading fake news, but it may be a byproduct of the algorithm and the business model that makes misinformation spread so quickly. Is that a fair statement?
That's exactly right. I think you paraphrased it perfectly, John. And, you know, so really the social media can help improve to try to reduce fake news by potentially redesigning user experience to combat against these psychological biases.
And I'm guessing some of this can lead to extremism. Is that true or possible?
Unfortunately, extremism is a combination of fake news and sort of online social media, where indeed, you know, there have been evidence that shows that heavy utilization of YouTube, often, especially on specific subjects, will lead you into even more videos that are extreme in views. So when we do selective thinking, kind of the opposite of critical thinking, selective thinking around topics that are only affirming your convictions and personal biases.
Yeah, confirmation bias.
Potentially flawed. Yeah, then the social media only enhances it, which could indeed lead to extremism.
Today on Inside Austin, we're talking to Helen Bowie. She's the president of the Reboot Foundation. We're talking about fake news and misinformation. Now, what about the risks that misinformation and fake news can pose to democracy? What may they be?
More simplistically, the danger of fake news is actually our trust in legitimate news sources in and of itself. Today, only 32% believe that they have a fair amount of trust in media of news reporting. So, you know, already in terms of legitimate institutional sources, people start having questions and doubts about what they're reading. So that puts in question the entire media and how we get our source. So that's kind of a first indication of, you know, how can you actually have this much doubt and then hope that you can communicate, the media can communicate facts and less emotion-based or inflammatory statements around policy making, which can create dangers of democracy. But we also know, I mentioned earlier to you, John, about bots feeding into fake news and some of the dangerous sources. And it is a fact. I'm based in Paris, as you mentioned. You know, we do know in France that there have been specific dissemination of fake news, particularly to try to alter elections more towards right-wing, extreme right-wing, et cetera. So that kind of manipulation clearly is problematic to fake news. Now, political attempts to manipulate different elections has always existed.
Sure.
But the difficulty that we have today is in this digital world, because there's so much information out there, and it's very hard to distinguish between a blog, between an institutional source. Because it's so hard to distinguish between that information, it actually, and this confusion creates indeed challenges for the population to objectively make their decisions around policies as well as elections and in democracy in general.
So we know that fake news and misinformation is prolific. What is it that we or somebody, either Mark Zuckerberg or the U.S. federal government or whatever nation you happen to reside in, what can be done about the problem? I think we can all agree it is a problem. What can be done about the problem of misinformation and fake news?
Well, first and foremost, us as a population, we just need to be much more aware that there's fake news out there and educate ourselves and remind ourselves how we review information. So the Reboot Foundation has done a study around whether or not actually reading about spotting illegitimate sources of information via articles or even watching a video, whether or not you are better at identifying fake news after this practice, after reviewing the information. And the fact is that, yes, you can identify fake news more easily after you've read articles about how to spot it or have seen videos around it. So building awareness around fake news and educating people around how to identify fake news, that I think the most important arm we have against combating against misinformation. And then kind of what we alluded to, I do think that social media does have a role to actually reconsider their user experience and the algorithm so that you can actually naturally see opposing views and make it more user-friendly so that alternate views do become more accessible and easily available. And then the big question is around sort of government intervention. Naturally, government intervention is probably the most difficult area. But the peril of that is that it concerns censorships, partisanships, and for good reason, people are suspicious about government intervention around fake news. However, where the government can help is, for example, to continue to sponsor public interest journalism, promote media literacy programs, going back to the first point that I made about people becoming more educated in terms of how to identify fake news. So these are some of the ways that we can combat against misinformation.
And in, say, the last 60 seconds we've got left in this segment, are there some quick tips to help people identify a fake news source or fake news story?
Sure. Avoid relying on any single source of information. Resist clicking the initial links that you're exposed to when you do a search. Being aware of trolling or sources that seem to impersonate legitimate sources. We often are taught in terms of spams on email what to look for. You can do the same thing when you're doing research on internet. And being aware of kind of clickbait articles and press releases, because obviously such articles tend to be more prone to be disseminated by PR agencies to promote a product or a company. So those are some of the key ways that we can be more savvy to spot.
That's Helen Bui. She's the president of the Reboot Foundation. Helen, if somebody wanted more information on the Reboot Foundation, where can they go to find it?
Our website is reboot-foundation.org. All of our articles, our studies, and materials are completely free of charge for you to download and to review.
All right. That's Helen Bui, again, president of the Reboot Foundation. Helen, I appreciate you joining us today on Inside Austin.
Thank you so much, John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.